times or places I've known. Now I'm nearing the home shore. The redeemed are rejoicing. Heaven's angels are singing. I've come too far to look back. I've come too far to look back again. There is nothing behind me. All the treasures I used to know have all faded from view.
Faded from view.
There's a new day ahead.
I've known.
Now I'm nearing the home shore.
The redeemed are rejoicing. Heaven's angels are singing. I've come too far to look back.
I've come too far to look back. My eyes are on heaven. I've gone through many difficult things. Through trials. sickness, brokenness. I don't want to go back. I've come too far. I've come too far. I'm not going back. Welcome to Pilgrim's Progress. I've almost come to the Jordan River. I know where my home is. My home is with Jesus. You know, I was thinking this morning, what was my first memory on this earth? My first memory on this earth, I was a little baby, little guy, standing up in my crib, crying my lungs out. My brothers were in the bedroom. There was no room in there for me. Mom and Dad were in bed. The morning light was just breaking. My diaper was soaking wet. And I was hungry. So I did what all babies do. I cried. I wanted Mom or Dad to come and rescue me. And after a while, my mother came out of the bedroom, disheveled from a night's sleep, yawning. "What's the problem, Raymond?" I couldn't talk. I could just cry. She fixed me a bottle. She changed my diaper. She laid me back down. And I was out. But I was happy. I had a clean diaper. And I had a warm bottle of milk. Do you remember some early times like that in your life? I don't remember being born. I discovered I had been born when I was told later. I want to talk to you about another man. In the beginning was the Word. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Well, that's not his beginning. That was the beginning of the world. That's when the world was born. Did you know the world was born of God? This Word, this Logos, was with God. And the Word was God. This world was born of God. It belongs to God. Its beginning was found in Jesus Christ. But he wasn't called that. He was called the Word. Well, what does the Word mean? The Word is, it's that creative power. It's where life resides. Jesus is a person. Before he was born in Bethlehem, he was a person with all of the traits of a personality. He was at the very beginning of the earth. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. In the beginning of earth, as the earth was birthed born of God. He was with God in the beginning. That is, the beginning of the earth. He was with God. He's always been with God. He is God. Jesus is God. Now, we don't call him Jesus in his pre-existent state. I don't know what they called him. All of the names that we have for Jesus are names of redemption. I like that. Jesus, he saves his people. Through him, that is, through the Word, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. All that we see in the world was created by Jesus. All the angels were created by Jesus. The devil, he was called Lucifer when he was innocent before God. Now he's been transformed by his own power into a dragon, into a snake. In him was life. Oh, wait, what's that mean? What is life? You can hear me, right? You can hear me because you have life in you. I can speak because I have life in me. But it's only temporary life. I don't own this life that's in me. I don't own this energy that pulses through my mind and my heart and my body. That came from the Word. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Through Jesus, through the Word, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. But I want you to hear, in him was life, eternal life. He's always been, he is, and he will always be, because he did not create life in himself. He's always had life. He's always been alive. He's never been a Buddha statue. He's never been a Hindu elephant or cow. He has always been. And that life was given that men could have it for a short time, that they could experience the joy of life. The light shone into the darkness, but the darkness could not overcome it. I've shared this before, but as a little boy, I was terrified of the dark. It seemed that I was able to see all kinds of strange things in the dark. And I imagined many wonderful and terrifying things in the dark. Raymond, why aren't you asleep? Daddy, I'm afraid. What are you afraid of, Ray? I don't know. I just see things. But we can take care of that, Raymond. And he got me a flashlight. And he said, when you see something in the dark that scares you, turn the light on. And every time I turned the light on, that nightmare under my bed disappeared. The darkness cannot overcome the light. The light always dispels the darkness. The darkness that comes into the soul of a man can only be dispelled by the light and the glory of God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It is God's flashlight. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness can never overcome light. Light always overcomes the darkness. And then, I don't know how they decided this. I would like to have been in the meeting where they made these decisions. I'll ask lots of questions later when life eternal is given to me. They decided not to send Jesus to the earth dressed as a king. He didn't ride a majestic cloud out of the sky and set foot on the land, causing people to bow and scrape and be terrified before him. No, no, no. He didn't come that way. He came as a baby, innocent. Who's afraid of a baby? He's a baby. But before he came as a baby, he needed someone to come and announce his coming. It was not a showman who showed up. It was not someone who showed up in Jerusalem and began to do some kind of bag of tricks. Instead, it was simply a man who was sent from God. And he had a name. His name was John. Again, not a terrifying name, not a frightening name. His name was John. He came as a witness. He came to testify concerning the light. He came to testify concerning the word. As he testified, he performed no miracles. But in his testimony, he spoke in such a way that people were convicted of their sins. What do I mean, their sins? Their rebellion against the life. Trying to steal the life. Many of you have stolen yourself from God. You belong to him. He made you. I see some of these young women with a ring in their septum. Makes them look a little bit like a piggy. Or they pierce their ears, or they pierce their cheek, or they pierce their nose. All of the piercings saying, I belong to me. I'm not owned by anybody. No, that's not true. You are owned by God. He came and he created the world. And he created you. This man, John, he simply came as a witness to say, that this light has arrived, and the darkness cannot overcome it. He said, I'm not the light. I've just come to witness that I've seen the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. But it was coming into the world not as a soldier, not as a frightening, weaponized man. No. He was coming as a baby. He was in the world. He came into the world. Now, I want you to catch the significance of what I've just said. He came from outside of the world. He came from another planet, another place. He came on a very specific mission, and that is to try to even lay his life down to win the friendship of these people that he had created on the earth. He came to show his love. He came to demonstrate his love by how he lived. He didn't come with a shotgun or a rifle or a sword or a spear. He didn't come to force people. He came to draw them with love. Have you been drawn by his love? I have been. He's a gentle man. He's God. And he came as a man. He came from outside of the world. He was birthed into this world. Now, he could have had many different ways of entering the world. Could have come in a spaceship. Remember the story of Elijah, the angel, and the chariots. They came and picked Elijah up and gave him an Uber ride to heaven. Jesus could have come in that kind of way into the center of Jerusalem, showing up in a fiery chariot. Can you see this little boy standing in the middle of the street after the chariot leaves? No. He was born in Bethlehem. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, he created the world. The world did not recognize him. They expected their king to come in pomp and ceremony and power. That's not the way Jesus comes to us. He comes in humility. He comes as a baby. It says he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. This baby lived in Nazareth. King Herod tried to kill him, and he escaped. Heaven, through the astrologers, gave gold and things of value that could be sold to support and open the business. God took care of his responsibility to provide for his son. But he was not received. Scripture does not tell us that Jesus did any miracles before the Holy Spirit came and moved on him.
at his baptism with John the Baptist. John preached powerfully that you must repent and turn from your sin, that the Messiah of the world had entered, Jesus came, grew up in the world, but they didn't recognize him. I'm sure that broke his heart. He was a man of sorrows, we're told in Isaiah. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in the name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, wait, don't hurry over that. This is absolutely vital that you catch this. You are a son of Adam. I'm a son of Adam. And when Adam sinned, a curse was spoken. A curse of death. Well, that curse is still working itself out in your life and in mine. I was a cute little baby, believe it or not. I became a handsome young man, believe it or not. And now I'm old. What do I mean? I mean that the curse of death is still functioning in my life. And I'm going to die of old age unless something very dramatic happens. How about you? Are you young and beautiful? You have 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years ahead of you, maybe. And then you're going to die. Because the curse of death, because of disobedience, is still being worked out in your life. And you can be angry, you can be arrogant, you can be full of yourself. None of that will cancel the sentence of death that was on Adam and has come through and is now upon you. In fact, science tells us that we are devolving. We're not getting better. We're not getting stronger. Death has been turned back a little bit by our modern technology. Our antibiotics and other technologies. But the fact is, we still face death because that curse has not been broken. It's still active against us. That's terrifying. But we've accepted it. Okay. You're going to live, have a family, get married, be happy, be sad, go through trials and tribulations, and then you're going to get old, and then you're going to die. Because the body breaks down. And there's not a thing in the world you can do about it. But, listen, yet to all who received him, I've received him. I claim Jesus as my own. To those who believed in his name, I believe in his name. He gave the right, that is, he gave the privilege to become children of God. What's he saying? It's so important that you understand this. You are a child of Adam. The curse of death is against you. It will kill you. But Jesus came as a baby to offer you a way out of that curse. He offered you the chance to become not a son of Adam, but to become a son of God. With all of the rights and privileges that go along with being a son of God. Chief and foremost amongst those rights is the right to live for eternity. The privilege of serving the Almighty God. The privilege of living in love with one another without violence. He has given us the privilege of no longer being born of Adam, but being born of God. That's why Jesus said to this Pharisee in chapter 4, Nicodemus, you must be born from above. That is, you must be born of God. Now, you understand that when you're born of God, everything in your life changes. You no longer have the curse of death on you. You have a blessing of eternal life. It says, the Word became flesh, that is, the Word came and took upon himself the sonship of man. His favorite nickname was Son of Man. He took that curse of death upon himself. When he was born as a baby, he knew from his prior life that he was coming to take the curse of death from Adam upon himself. What kind of person would take voluntarily the curse of death upon himself in order to open the way that some of the people could become children of God? That's what he did for us. That's what he did for you. And he made his dwelling among us. He didn't just come and say, okay, I'll die for you. He came and he said, I'm going to live with you for a while. I love you. I'm going to live with you. I'm family with you. I'm going to open the door that you could become my brothers. That you could become children of God. Children of Jesus. He's God. The Word became flesh. This is verse 14. This is John, the first chapter, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among. He moved in with us. First as a baby in the manger, and then into a house. Then escaped to Egypt because Herod wanted to kill him. And then went to Nazareth. He says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came full of grace and truth to live among us. He loves you. He took the curse of death for you. Do you know that? Now, you can blow him off, and you can say, no, thank you. I'd rather live my own life and die than serve the God of heaven. Well, John testified concerning him. He said, after me has come one who surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we've all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. We haven't seen the fullness of God. We've seen the fullness of Jesus. Now the priests of that day, the Jews of Jerusalem, sent priests and Levites to ask John who he was. And he confessed freely, I am not the Christ. I'm not Jesus. Well, who are you? Are you Elijah? No. Are you the prophet? No. Well, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord. Make straight the way of the Lord. In other words, he's there to prepare the way for Jesus to come and begin his ministry. This is the one I meant when I said a man who comes after me, verse 30. This is John 1, verse 30. This is the one I meant when I said a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. So John the Baptist is saying he didn't come with horns blowing. He didn't come with wonderful steeds, horses, soldiers, guards. He didn't come among you as one you should fear. He came as a humble servant. He came as a man, a son of Adam. But John said, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. The Holy Spirit did not come as an eagle, a bird of prey. Which of us have not heard the morning doves cooing? Nothing to be feared. Instead, gentle, loving, merciful, kind. The Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus. This was the sign that Jesus was waiting for, that it was time to not only be baptized, but to begin to heal the sick, restore the broken. Saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. who has now become the Son of Man, who has come to take the curse of death, to live among us, to sit at our table and eat with us. He's the Son of God, but he's come as the Son of Man. My brother, my sister, do you hear what I'm saying to you today? Many of you still serve the powers of darkness, not realizing that the light is here for you. And if you will trust him, he has given you the privilege of being born from above. He's given you the privilege of being born again. He's given you the privilege of becoming a son of God. The reason he can give you the privilege of becoming a son of God is because he took on himself the curse of a son of Adam. And he died on Calvary's cross. This is such an amazing love story. That's what he's done for you. He's inviting you today to become a son of God. Now, yes, for a short time, the Son of Man curse of Adam is still going to work in my body. But part of what he did is he received the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and he will give that Holy Spirit as a gift to certain ones. But he gives to all of us the gift of becoming the Son of God. Because the day is coming when we will be transformed. Let me read it for you. If I can find it quickly. It's found in the book of Corinthians. In the 15th chapter. So will it be, verse 47, with the resurrection from the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. Sons of Adam have a perishable body. But it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, that is, a son of Adam body. It is raised a spiritual body, that is, a son of God. There is a natural body, and there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a spirit-giving power. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. Second man was from heaven. That was Jesus. As was the earthly man, so are also those who are of the earth, and is the man from heaven, so it is also from those who are from heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, Adam, we, so we shall also bear the likeness of the man from heaven. So I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. That is, they can never die again. And we will all be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, the mortal with the immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will be true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Jesus swallowed up death in victory at the cross. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. Power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory over sin and over death. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I know that my work on this radio station is not in vain. On YouTube, my work is not in vain. I've come too far. I'm not going back. I'm on the road to heaven. My Lord, who came and was born among us, who died, taking the curse of sin from Adam upon himself. And now I can walk free in Jesus. You can too, if you will choose to leave your sin as you turn to Jesus Christ. He'll wash you with his blood. He'll give you victory over every bondage of sin, over alcohol, over drugs, over sexual uncleanness. He'll give you victory over every bondage of sin. He'll shine that light upon your darkness, and you will be able to see. I trust him. Do you? Do you need to be transformed and changed? And do you need to activate the promise to become a child of God instead of a child of Adam? Fornication, lying, cheating, stealing, all of that belongs to the sons of Adam. None of that belongs to the sons of God. I want to walk clean. Do you? You can. He offers that to you. You can be born of God. Are you ready to pray? Will you make that decision? Lord, I pray now that those who are standing in the valley of decision, in the darkness, half in the darkness, half in the light, would you cause them to step forward now and take the gift you're offering of being born of God, of being born from above, of being transformed and changed. Lord, would you move by your Spirit? Lord, I have people I dearly love. I don't want to see them sink deeper and deeper into the darkness, but rather to come out of the darkness, to come into the light, and no matter how they feel or what they think, Say, Jesus, I'm yours. I belong to you. You took the curse of death from Adam, and you bore it through the grave, and you were resurrected. And that resurrection is now for me. Lord, I thank you. I put my trust in you, Jesus. Glory, 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 hallelujah, I am free. I am born from above. I'm no longer in the bondage of Satan and darkness and misery. And, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, my Lord. I pray in your name. Amen. You've been listening to Pilgrim's Progress. I've outlined today for you that we're all born of Adam, and the curse of death is upon us. And then Jesus came, and he said, you can be born from above. You can become the sons and daughters of God. Thank you. That gives my heart such joy and such hope. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'd love to hear from you. You can write to me at the National Prayer Chapel, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22195. You can also go online to nationalprayerchapel.com. And there you can give online to help support the work of this ministry. Or you're welcome to come and worship with us this Sunday. You'll find us at 5009 Softwood Lane, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22192. Just come to the door and come on in. We'll be here. And you're welcome. If you want to be a son and daughter of God, God bless you. I'll talk to you soon.